Save the Children. More than 10 children per day in Gaza have lost one or both of their legs since Israel began its assault on October. Can you talk about the amputation crisis in this last minute we have, speaking to us from Paris?
Normally, as we are in Gaza Strip, like 2,300,000 persons in Gaza Strip. So we talk about more than 120,000 people with disability. And in the last war and in the last genocide, what happened now in Gaza Strip, we talk about more than 10,000 new people with disability in the last genocide. Children, women and men, and they have like an amputee and paraplegic. So it's like a very hard situation because there is, as I told before, there is no difference between any, if you are children or women. So everyone is a target. What I want to explain for you is like, in the same time, it's a very hard situation. And also, as example, we are as a people with disability in our sport. So, we are training before this genocide as a, in our sport,
Fadi, we're going to have to wrap up the conversation now, but we're going to continue. Fadi Deeb represents Palestine as a shot putter in the 2024 Paralympics, which begins later this month. The only member of the Palestinian Olympic delegation from Gaza. And I want to thank Ashrin Ahmed and Dave Zirin. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
The 2024 election is coming, and we at KBOO want to make sure your voice is heard. Take KBOO's election agenda survey and help our volunteer reporters and programmers cover the 2024 election. We want to know, what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? Fill out our survey by August 14th, and you can be entered into a sweepstakes to win a $50 Visa gift card. Full rules on our website. At the end of August, we'll report back with the community's priorities. Find that survey online at bit.ly/KBOOSurvey2024. That's bit.ly/KBOOSurvey2024.
Hi, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. On That Vegan Show, you will hear in-depth guest interviews on vegan-related topics, such as companion animals, environmentalism, social issues, and food and nutrition. We also learn about specific animals, such as possums and rabbits, including their needs and ways to help them. Be sure to tune in to That Vegan Show on the fourth Friday of the month at 11 a.m., right here on KBOO, Portland.
You are listening to KBOO, 90.7 FM in Portland.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and we are broadcasting live on this day, Monday, the 12th of August, 2024. KBOO is aired on 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 FM in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. I am Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio, and today is Monday, August 12th, and actually, this is the only Monday, August 12th, 2024, that you will ever experience, so make the most of it in the best ways you can. I am grateful that you took some time from your day to listen to this program. I encourage those who have thoughts to share to participate in our conversation. Our phone number to the air room is 503-231-8187. So put that someplace where you can remember it, put it in your phone, and give us a call when it's appropriate. When you have some wisdom to share, when there is something you need to say because people need to hear. Well, there are many things going on, and let me just begin by just acknowledging certain things that happen, certain days, certain festivals that we celebrate and recognize. So, yesterday, August 11th, it was the anniversary of what has been known of hip-hop in the Bronx in New York in August 11th, 1973, in a community room in a housing project. DJ Kool Herc started spinning some records, and that it has been known as the birth of hip-hop, which has morphed into a worldwide phenomenon that has moved beyond the inner cities. It has moved into Madison Avenue, making billions and billions of dollars, and to know that it has arrived. It is now an Olympic sport. One of the things of hip-hop is breakdancing, and breakdancing is now an Olympic sport. So, there goes, well, I'll just leave it there. Okay, and the other thing about August 11th yesterday was the second Sunday in August. And all of you, I'm sure, celebrated the holiday. You say, what holiday is that? Well, a few years ago, some savvy person on the internet started to say we need to celebrate Gay Uncle Day. So the second Sunday in August is known as Gay Uncle Day or Gunkle Day. So all of you gay uncles out there, I hope you had a happy Gunkle Day, and all your nieces and nephews and others are there to celebrate you as you celebrate others. So those are just a few things of note. Now, how do we tie all of these things together? Well, we do it this way. August 11th was the anniversary of hip-hop, and it is related to the Olympics, since I noticed that breakdancing is now an Olympic sport. One thing I am interested in hearing from you. Finally, I think the Olympics of 2024 has come to an end. The Paralympics begins soon. But all of those people who went to Paris are now finding their way back home. What are some of your thoughts on the Olympics? Greatest moments? What did you watch? What did you not watch? What did you miss? Are there things that you are excited to have seen? And some of you might have heard some of the reflections, conversation of Amy Goodman on Democracy Now with some sports journalists and observers, pointing out some things that may not have been noticed or observed by a lot of the media covering the Olympics. So reflect with me some of your thoughts about the Olympics. What were the greatest moments? What did you watch? What did you miss? Related to the Olympics, the Summer Olympics is a time of spring. It's a time of activity.
And summer is a time where people get out and enjoy things around. So before fall arrive, I'm interested in hearing some of your favorite summer festivals. What are some of the things that you did this summer, or things you want to do before and has already started? It's a little bit cooler in some places. The leaves are changing. But before the last bit of summer, and I know it's only the middle of August, but, you know, there are students in school, and there are signs that are saying summer is coming to an end. But before, what have been some of your favorite summer festivals, concerts, or gathering? For example, I did not know this, but I discovered, and you might have noticed, that there are activities such as this weekend was the 7th annual Hot Sauce Expo in Portland. Now, I did not know about this before that, but it makes perfect sense. Hot Sauce Festival in Portland. So what does that mean? Something that happened this weekend was an opportunity for to find out your favorite hot sauce and experience things. So what are some of the things that you experienced this summer that were examples? It might have been something more traditional, such as the Rose Festival, something that brings families and people together from all over to participate. So maybe it was the Rose Festival. But maybe you celebrated National S'mores Day. Now, that was a holiday that, you know, lots of people should celebrate. And, you know, it's only appropriate, you know. You like to go camping and create s'mores, so there's a National S'mores Day. Well, perhaps that day passed by and you did not even notice. But many people, thousands of people here in Portland participated in the Portland Blues Festival. Some of you who are more, in quotes, traditional, might have went to and celebrated an Oregon Country Fair. Now, I recall from years ago, the Oregon Country Fair. Actually, I never attended, but I knew people who participated. So maybe that might have been something that you participated in as a child, or something you continue to do. On top of that are the many county and the state fair, which the state fair is, I believe, the last week in August, towards Labor Day, that in Salem. Have you participated in the county fairs in your county? Maybe that's something you celebrated. And there are other activities that have been important. So if you would like to share with us some of your summer activities, what have been things that you participated in? Could have been the Jazz Festival, could have been the Cathedral Jazz Festival, could have been the Blues Festival. Lots of things. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Now, to move a little bit from those topics, I mentioned the Olympics, favorite moments for you, insights that you gained from that. May also share some of your thoughts on summer activities and summer festivals. And to move to a thing that I don't want to say more important, but certainly things we should talk about. What are the local issues that you would like the city council candidates to address? If you had been listening to our program and you heard before our program began, The news department at KBOO is having a survey for people to participate in so that the news department can more accurately report on concerns that you have. So what are the local issues that you would like the city council candidates to address? What are you looking for in council members? What characteristics and or skills are you looking for? Give us some of your thoughts. We have a couple of callers on the line, so we'll go to them. And we'll go to Arthur first. Good morning, Arthur. How are you this morning?
I feel great, Cecil. Thank you for asking.
Great. What are your thoughts? What would you like to talk about this
morning? I lived in a tent for a year here. But I was lucky enough to get out of my situation. I started working for a temp agency.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me to work at a blues festival recently, because that's what your topic is. Right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and my job was to sit under umbrella and listen to great blues musicians.
I'm glad you were under an umbrella, because it got pretty warm this year. Yeah,
It did, and I had the luck of the draw on that one.
Well, great for you.
Yeah. But I saw all kinds of great acts. I saw one of them was K.D. Wiley and The Hurt, which is four females competing to be the best singer on the stage.
All right.
You should advertise that one. K.D., I think it's called K.D. and The Hurt.
Okay.
But hey. Yeah. I was just ask me a question.
Well, thank you. I mean, thank you for volunteering and working at the Blues Festival. So that was one thing that you participated in. So that's great. Do you have any thoughts about the elections, or what are things you're looking for in terms of candidates? Anything you're looking for in candidates.
Are you talking about national elections?
National or local, anything. You know, what are your concerns that people should talk about?
On that front, my concerns are how they, since I have lived in a tent.
Yes.
Let me reiterate that. I lived in a tent for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I always kept my tent, the area around my tent, very clean.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people that make a living just taking stolen bikes, and they've got, you can tell they got parts from like 30 bikes.
Right, yes.
Different types. I had like one bike chained to a tree.
Mm.
You know, but on the other hand, people have to make a living.
Yes.
So, I'm not trying to mitigate this situation too much, but definitely, I think people should be allowed to. Can I say one thing?
Okay, one thing. Yes.
The word camping is completely inappropriate. Okay, camping is when you have a nice house and you put all your tents and stuff in the back of a van.
Yes.
And you drive to Sandy River. You set it up, get a campfire going, right? You have a good time. And then you load it back up and go back to your house.
Nice house, right.
And camp. I used to live in a tent in the city of Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think of myself as a camper. I thought of myself as a person living in a tent.
Yes.
Verbology is kind of strange.
That's a very good observation, Arthur, and thank you for raising these issues. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for...
Yeah, I've taken enough of your time, and let me tell you, KBOO is great, and you are great.
Well, you are great, nice Arthur, and thank you for calling.
Have a nice night. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. Let's go to our next caller. Lenita, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Cecil. Welcome back. I'm glad you had a nice vacation.
Well, yes, I did. What's exciting things you would like to talk about or mention this morning?
Well, I am hesitant to go out to any festivals, any public festivals,
okay,
because COVID is rearing its head. You know, it's mutated and it's spreading. Mm-hmm. I know a number of people who've had COVID, and there's a fear factor. So what we did, we had a family reunion, and although I'm not a good cook, I can, no matter what you fix on a grill, it tastes okay, right?
Yeah, right. It's something so, about the grill, yes.
There's something about the grill. Even I can't mess up a meal, and I've tried.
You tried.
So it's nice to have family, you know, come in and eat my burnt food and not complain about it. And I, of course, love them and miss them. So that was really nice. Excellent. Over the summer.
Yes, yes.
And right now, hi for Vice President Harris and Governor Waltz. And I'm just so happy now compared to how I felt a month ago, full of doom and despair. And I just don't want anything to bother the Sugar High. I don't want to think about it too much. I just want to feel this moment before it dissipates. And I appreciate you and all that you guys do at KBOO. And have a great Monday. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Thank you so much, Kate, Lenita. And before you go, that was a great observation you just made about wanting to hold on to that moment because it will dissipate. How do you keep going when those moments dissipate? That moment of maybe joy or hopefulness. What keeps you going?
Well, what keeps me going is my work, the people that I care about. Maintaining what little bit I have, and just knowing how much our ancestors had to suffer, and we all stand on their shoulders, and they've given us this opportunity, the opportunity to criticize, the opportunity to praise, and the opportunity to make change. So knowing that you can be involved in making change, and in this case, it would be ensuring that your voter registration is copacetic and going out to vote. I mean, we're lucky in the state of Oregon. We get our ballots in the mail. But that process has been so demonized.
Yes.
That I hope my other Americans in other states can ensure that they are still able to vote, and that under Vice President Harris during this election year, that she's able to get some attorneys out here to some of these states so they can take a look at what's going on with voter registration and the ability to vote. But that's what keeps me going, the ability to make change. You make change in your personal life, you make change in your work life, and hopefully this country can make change for the better.
Yes.
Like Octavia Butler said in her series, Parable of the Sower, Parable of the Talents, that change is, I think she said, like, God is change, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But change was the movement of change. That's what keeps me hopeful. And thank you. That's a great question, Cecil.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your thoughts and sharing and all that you do. Have a great day, Lenita.
Thank you, Cecil.
And she reminded me of this quote from Angela Davis. Lenita was talking about change and the struggle. This is a quote attributed to Angela Davis, and who said, "You have to act as if it were possible to radically transform the world. And you have to do it all the time." Angela Davis said, "You have to act as if it were possible to radically transform the world, and you have to do it all the time." You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and this is a program where we share news, information, and thoughts with one another and people in our community. And so I invite you to give us a call and share your thoughts, your opinion, your questions. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Our callers this morning were sharing some of their thoughts, some of their feelings. Arthur began our conversation this morning by talking about his ability to participate, to work at the Blues Festival, I think it was this year, and had the opportunity, fortunately for him, to not only work but to sit in some shade. He also reminded us about language and the language we use. An author who had lived in a tent for a while, I don't know whether he currently lives in a tent, but he reminded us that sometimes the phrases we use are should be questioned. So he questioned the term camping, that is often used to address people who live on the streets. And he observed that camping is when you leave your nice, comfortable house and you get into your nice trailer and you drive to a nice camping ground and you set up a camp. And then when it's all over, you put it all back in and go back. That's a different experience than those who are living on the streets because they don't have an alternative. Interesting. Give us your thoughts about some of the things that are important to you. We began by talking about activity. After Arthur, Lenita called and shared some of their thoughts about things that she and her family, she mentioned that she doesn't participate in a lot of gatherings with lots of people, but she reminded us of the importance and the joy she enjoyed by gathering with her family and from grilling and enjoying one another's companies. What are some of your thoughts? And ultimately, I also want to know what things are you looking for in your city council candidates? Our numbers are city or any candidates, local, at state, or federal. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's go to our next caller. Tangent, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, great. I wanted to start with word, but I have a couple of funnies to share also. But as for Arthur, I noticed, first of all, they call them sweeping or sweeps, mm-hmm. as if they're just cleaning up. Well, you know, as far as the property owners are concerned, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as they're throwing away, they're garbaging is what they're doing.
Right.
And I wanted to point this out. I was up on my way to the coast one time, and we walked the dogs off the side, and I saw this sign that said, "Police your brass." And I thought, well, that's a strange sign. And I guess
police your what?
Your brass. So if people like to shoot, okay, and they want you to pick up your shells is the idea.
Oh, okay.
And that's good for a few reasons. I would hate to like trip on some rocks and rolling cylinders. But anyway, it just made me think about that's what that word is to clean. In fact, they call it kitchen police, right, in the army.
That's an observation.
When they're actually cooking, it's not some. Okay, they're not arresting anybody.
Good observation.
Okay, so there's and for that quote, now there's a thing. I don't like the use of this word the or the for everything. So we could change that quote to change our world.
Change our world.
When you say the, it sounds outside or separate. Separate. Get it? You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And another one is she Earth. It's Mother Earth. That's her. That's she. Our great, great grandmother, she Earth. Or we could call it our Earth. You see, if then we're all little owners.
Mm.
But the final one here, let's just go with this. Trump,
poster boy for imposters.
Okay. So
we just, the poster is in that word, well, imposter, but we pronounce it differently.
Well, let me ask you, since you brought up this candidate, what are you looking for in candidates? That,
well, this will probably be frowned on, but I stopped voting after 2000, and I voted in every election previously. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I saw it as when the Supreme Court can just throw it away. I mean, I never liked the Electoral College, but I thought, you know, guy gets enough votes, they're not going to really go. Well, okay. But when they just gave it to Bush, I was like, forget it. It's a circus. They want us to believe, you know, that we have some democracy, and then we're always fighting for it, you know, and all this progressive American politics, and then we just went back 50 years. How did that happen? A couple old farts?
So, you know, for the last 24 years, you have not voted, but it sounds as if you continue to be interested in, you know, well, you continue to be interested in what's going on around you. So what are things that you look for in...
Well, Gaza. I'm glad she's talking, but Biden's been talking, too. Talking is nothing. I think this is Pliny the Elder or Younger. I can't remember. He said, when all was said and done, more was said than done. Hmm. And that's just a perfect description of politics. Can we get rid of the Senate? It's very disproportionate. They only have to run every 6 years. And you know how hard it is to get any group of people to agree on something, and then all of a sudden you have to do it all over again. It seems very inefficient.
Okay, so if I understand you in part, you know, your observation is, you know, our electoral system is not perfect. You have chosen not to.
No, it's not perfect. No, that's too kind. It's
okay.
Let me
finish.
Oriented. Okay, there's always money for war. Oh, that's always so easy to do. And all these things like help people. If the government thinks it's such a great idea for people to home ownership, why don't they give everybody zero interest loans?
So one
everybody
of the challenges.
Buying a house at 18. What?
One of the challenges we face in a conversation is that one person speak and another person listen. So you interrupted me, so I think one of the challenges normally in conversation, and maybe this is part of the political language, is that often, and all of us are guilty, you know, I'm raising my hand, I have a point to say and I need to say it, and I don't listen to what the other person is saying. So one of the things I look for in leaders, politicians, or anyone, people who have the ability to listen and not speak. I think politicians are good at speaking, but maybe not as good as listening to what people like you have to say.
Yeah. And just as far as my interrupting, I don't like to do it often, but if you're going to, I think that I already have heard this idea before as far as, and I just want to point out that I don't even trust the government has any good wishes for us or France or England. Okay. They don't, they just talk peace and they walk war.
Okay. Okay.
Right. You have a caller, a woman that calls up here every 5 years or so. I've heard her. She says she worked for a guy. They were in the oil industry of some sort. This is back in the 80s. And he said the next wars will be in country, in that country, in the other one. And she was, here we are like 30 years later, and she was like, and he told her, wars take time to plan. You don't just, they don't just simply happen. They're well planned. The newspapers do their part.
Thank you so much for your call.
I'm waiting to hear what Santiago has to say.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much for your call. And, And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. And I apologize if sometimes I begin a conversation and start talking and it goes off the rail a little bit, but, you know, that's the nature of conversation. But give us a call. Let us know your thoughts and your opinions, because all thoughts are important. And one of the challenges is to create a space where voices are heard. This is your opportunity to speak and have your voice heard. 503-231-8187. You are listening to More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott, and I invite your phone calls. We began our conversations this morning by asking people, what are their reflections on summer? What were some of the things that you did, some of the things you enjoy, some of the things that you are looking forward to do? Had some conversation about the Olympics. What are the greatest moments? What did you watch? What did you miss? What do you want to see? What are your thoughts on that? And also, I am interested in hearing what are the issues that you would like candidates for electoral office to address. Whether you are a voter or not a voter, what are the issues that are important to you? What are you looking for in candidates? Maybe in addition to their position on issues, are there other things that you are looking for? Are you looking for a certain temperament, a certain skills, certain characteristics? What makes a good candidate for you? Those of you who are in the city of Portland know that this city has an opportunity, and the city is engaged in reimagining governing. For the first time in over 100 years, the city of Portland has changed its governance structure. There will be hiccups as we try to familiarize ourselves. What are you worried about or optimistic about the city government as it evolves, as the structure change? What are things that you are concerned about? As August continues, as we enter and begin to think about fall, we are beginning to see certain ads in newspaper, on social media from candidates who are letting us know their position. I'm speaking particularly in terms of local issues. I've noticed a slew of posts on social media by candidates running for city council. And there's a slew of candidates. There's a slew of ads. What are you looking for? I think I am looking for, in addition to candidates' positions on issues, of how they people engage with one another, whether or not people are able to have serious conversation with people they don't naturally or think they don't naturally agree with. We often hear that we are a divided nation, city, community. Well, how do we get beyond that? Let's hear what some of your thoughts are on this or on other subjects. 503-231-8187. And someone requested this person, and they have heard, and they have called. Let's hear what Santiago has to say. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Okay. People wanted to hear from you, so
Share your wisdom, Santiago.
The thing that I'm really concerned most about in this election is that people are, I mean, and it's really every election, but, you know, particularly this one, because we've seen how the Democratic Party lied about Biden's competency as a candidate, his viability, his ability to even get the point across. We saw how it was they deceived up until the moment where they couldn't. And then rather than giving people a primary, and I realize that this is kind of on the line, but they did it to themselves. It's kind of on the line. So, you know, they basically forced a candidate on us that didn't really have that great of an approval rating when she ran the first time. But I think more importantly, it's just we're getting into a place where everybody is so scared of Trump and his group of paper tigers that they don't see really the inadequacies of the Democratic candidates. I mean, everybody wants to say that we need to speak with nuance about Kamala Harris's record as AG in California, but I don't really see how you can. It's like people want to talk with nuance when it's something that they want, but when we're talking about it in broad terms, you know, Her record was just, they'd be like, oh, you know, she did a great job as AG, or she did the job she was supposed to do, but we don't afford that same nuance when we talk about other fascist regimes such as the Nazis. I mean, particularly police are fascists. They are a fascist. They are the violent arm of the capitalist class. Police only exist to protect private property. The rest is just fluff and PR.
So
their
how
clearance rating for, you know, like it's. I mean, basically, I don't want to be like super long-winded because I got a lot to say. But I mean, at the end of the day, like Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are just—they just look good in comparison to Trump because he's so buffoonishly and cartoonishly out of touch.
So,
you know?
Right. So in comparison,
you know,
that's an interesting point in terms of comparison those candidates and I think the point you made in terms of examining the rot in the system is really important.
And I think another point that a lot of people don't realize is that like Nancy Pelosi, like when you look into her record, like rather than running on a platform that people liked, she would literally fund far right extremists to make herself look better. You know what I mean? Like rather than trying to get in touch with her voter base, you know, it's like she would she would fund far right extremists to run against her to make her look better. And that's what you see with a lot of this country. But I think that the one thing that the Democrats didn't count on is that people are so disillusioned with their empty words and their right. idle talk that they would actually vote for one. I mean, we know that Hillary Clinton encouraged Trump to run because she wanted a layup.
Let me ask, because you're making very good observation about the national scene in terms of the state or local scene. What are some of your thoughts about either candidates, or what are things that people should look for? Should people be concerned about the electoral system?
Well, people should be concerned about the electoral system. In the sense that, like, when you look at the candidates who are put forth, look where the money's coming from. Because at the end of the day, you know, Trump and Harris, they have the same funding group. I mean, they don't have far right extremist money. I'll give you that, but they have the backing of the same corporate donors. Because when push comes to shove, Democrats will always choose fascism over socialism because it's about the protection of private property. Nice. End of story. So we got to follow the money. And what I would tell people is local elections are often a lot more contentious because the buy-off is smaller. Mm-hmm. You don't need as much money to buy off small, like, I mean, Prosper Portland is a capitalist circus, and then their their group that's funding TIF programs, which I've had, which I've sat through, is just another arm of rich, out of touch Portlanders who want to take land from Black and Brown folks for pennies on the dollar, you know. So, yeah. I mean, I just encourage people to follow the money and really start getting involved in grassroots organizations. That we've got the Raso Unida out here. We've got the Brown Berets. We've got Black Panthers out here. We've got All African People's Socialist Party. We got the African People's Revolutionary Party out here. We've got a Party for Socialism and Liberation. And if you're not, like, super interested in, you know, in more left, you know, more left politics, start getting involved in a union. I'm a part of the musicians union out here. You know, I have a lot of, I know a lot of folks who are part of the SEIU. The point is that the only reason why Walz and Harris are looking even remotely better is because there's a groundswell of support enough to actually make them consider choosing a different route. Granted, Harris has already said she's not going to agree with the arms embargo on Israel, which is super disappointing because that's why people didn't want Biden in the first place, and that's really going to hurt her. But at the end of the day, we can't depend on our help coming from above. We are the change makers. Every right that we have in this country that's worth fighting for was fought and died for, not by rich white men who were looking for a hostile management change, but from Black and Brown folks and even poor white folks who wanted to see a complete change of course in history. Know what I mean? Like,
excellent.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. I think that's a good way to reflect. And I'll just close by quoting again Angela Davis: you have to act as if it were possible to radically transform the world, and you have to do it all the time. Thank you, Santiago, for your passion and for what you have to say.
Well, thank you, people. Thank you, sir.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. Our last caller was sharing some of his their thoughts on politics and where we are going. Let's hear what Janet has to say. Good morning.
Good morning from Brooklyn to Brightwood. I've been walking down by the river in the morning and turned where I living. It used to be kind of a folksy little place. Now the property developers have every
other
house, like an Airbnb.
Oh no!
And I'm trying not to have this attitude, to be kind of looking at yuppie scum to people who are that I should engage with them, and not be partial to people who are like I don't know, like Joanne Hardesty. I thought a very important point. My friend that lived on Sandy Boulevard lived across the street from the police chief, who sent his people to Israel to train with the Mossad. That was back in the 90s.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, and I was watching this thing about what's like in Liverpool. So the people are the lefties are coming out to say, knock it off, about this cop city kind of thing that's been going on everywhere.
Yes.
And I would be thinking, that was really brave of Joanne Hardesty. I think that the possibility to follow through my spiritual tradition as a Jubu kind of person is like true self, you know, to have appreciation, sincerity, and courage. And I'm thinking that that's a pretty good mix, a trifecta of how we need to proceed in life.
Say that again: appreciation,
sincerity, and courage.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, and I think Joanne Hardesty, she exhibited that. And we don't really see enough people that aren't going to be complicit and sell out and then just be some kind of walking dog and pony show up there. And so, unfortunately, when we're watching these platforms, they're not like talking to the people. And you got all this AI stuff, and you're wondering if there's really a crowd or if people even have the capacity to do heart-to-heart dialogue, which it's great to hear Santiago and you in the morning. I'm thinking that we can actually, I feel for myself, if I can just kind of take it down a notch and if I can meet and talk with some of the people that are visiting here on weekends that come from all over the world,
yes,
that there's somewhere to approach people. Like, I go back to that Hannah Arendt and Carl Jaspers, the vast heart, the all-encompassing, that you can recognize in yourself subjectivity and objectivity and get a larger grasp about how to approach people.
Yes.
Then that's pretty fascinating and important that you have an opportunity to call in, and there you are in Santiago calling in, but we can not just be babbling talking points. It's very frustrating. I try to make friends with my neighbors that are kind of all been gaslighted to be thinking Trump's all that and blah, blah, blah. Again, the enmity is huge. And I mean, thinking that then when people don't talk about the genocide, they're avoiding it. I mean, think what kind of humanity is there, anything left to, there's a possibility for that we're not dogging each other, we can raise up our humanity at all.
So you also, a little bit earlier, you mentioned in terms of not approaching, you know, your neighbors, you know, and not having the attitude of, you know, the yuppie scum. But how do you do that? How are there ways in which you're able to say, okay, keep my opinions to myself, and do I talk and then talk to my neighbor or find out who they are? What? Give me examples.
No, I think it's not that easy, because no. I immediately be thinking I'm aligning myself with Santiago's idea about the unions are everything,
yeah,
and that my grandpa was in the Tailors Union on the Lower East Side after Ellis Island.
Yes.
But I'm thinking that if I can just figure out, the first thing to do is find some common ground. And
yes.
So I would be thinking, the common ground I think of is that I have four kids. I have four grandkids. Mm-hmm. My oldest granddaughter is having a baby. I'll be a great-grandma. For me not to approach someone, my granddaughter, and I'm not going to call her yuppie nothing, because she's had her own struggles. Her dad passed away a couple weeks ago from some not very happy thing. But that a mother is a mother.
Yes.
And if you can find a mother that doesn't care about what's going on in Palestine, then I'm thinking at some point you find the approach, and then you just dig right in there, I think, maybe in a sort of gentle way,
yes,
maybe with a little bit of nuance, to yard them in and then go there. Only thing I have to go by is because I'm just be thinking, well, how did being an Orthodox Jew work for people? But very difficult, because I lived upstairs from Dave Dellinger and next door to a guy who's a renewal rabbi in Ashland. And I think, how tough was that rabbi guy to retain that he was actually Che Guevara and playing the guitar back in Brooklyn, and I was trying to talk to his crew, his synagogue of lawyers and doctors. So I'm thinking it's a very, your humanity's got to show in how you can approach people with wisdom,
yes,
and compassion. And it's the ordinary human beings, compassion and wisdom translate to faith and courage. So it takes me courage to just kind of relate to people.
Oh, you know, you have so much insight, and, you know, just a couple of things I wanted to respond to. I think it's great you use the word courage, and you know, the ability, it seems as if to speak, to find common ground is important, and it takes, and I say it may take some humility also.
Right, yeah, because we live in a narcissistic society, though.
Yes.
You ever read that book about the whole freaking society is so narcissistic? We have to get really getting kind of an awareness of how far down we're going.
Right. Yes. But
I love talking to you. You're a very cool person, and I was thinking about Joanne Hardesty. I wish she'd come back again. And I think, boy, rock and roller coaster situation in dealing with police. Now they'd be thinking, the most difficult thing I'm thinking about right now, which is so prescient, is the Democratic National Convention. And I don't really know, they're talking about all these Venezuelans, what's going on in Venezuela. They try to say Maduro so back and throw in another one of our little, whoever we're trying to throw. It's very complicated what they're trying to roll out with some kind of background kind of thing to make things look like they're okay that yes. are bizarre, and then to have some a bunch of cops being all fascist and other people saying, oh, don't you care about our cops?
That's very confusing. Challenge. It is.
Very confusing, but it's a very interesting conversation. Keep it up.
Hey, thank you so much, Janet, and thank you for your thoughts and for your ability to hold your tongue and to engage with your Airbnb neighbors. Thank you so much.
Funny, I can't hold my tongue. I'll work on that.
Okay. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. Our last conversation we had with Janet, who quite honestly talked about the challenge that they face when they meet people who come from a different perspective. Where it's so easy for me to quickly judge people. And the challenge is, as Janet said very well, to find common ground. And, you know, we all, breathe the same air. We all walk on the same earth. I think that ought to be a beginning, but often it is not. We have to go deeper. We have to find that which motivates, which inspires, which make people rise up in the morning and go on with their day. What is it that is important? Parents all love their children. We all want safety for our friends and family. We all believe in the possibility of love. We all think that people should be fed and clothed. Regardless of ideology, what are things that bring us together? And to come full circle from our beginning this morning, we earlier mentioned the Olympics, and a lot of things go on there. But what's important, I think, for me, for the Olympics, is the possibility of finding common ground, and even in competition, being ability to support one another. That is a challenge. And as Santiago and others said this morning, we are in an election period where lots of things are happening. I hope that you continue to be motivated by love and allow your heart to inspire you. As we seek to establish more justice, let us create a world where all people have the ability to participate fully, whether one is living in a McMansion or living in a tent. We all are called to live and create a world where all are welcome and supported. It is indeed hard work, and oftentimes it seems as if the work never gets done. But as Angela Davis said, you have to act as if it were possible to radically transform the world, and you have to do it all the time. Friends, continue to act, continue to transform the world. Thank you for listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at KBOO.FM.
Tune in to KBOO every fourth Friday of the month at 8 p.m. for Squirrel Snow, the show where we broadcast galactic